Our gracious Father, we do thank Thee for help given thus far in the meeting. We thank Thee for that great joy that dawned with the coming of our Saviour. And we do look to Thee, dear Lord, that as we come now and meditate upon Thy truth, that the help of the Lord will be granted to us. Touch all of our hearts, we pray, and we ask for that needed help of the Holy Spirit of God. Teach us, we pray, from Thy truth. In our Lord's great name we ask. Amen. Amen. How appropriate it was that the shepherds from the hills outside of Bethlehem would hear the good news that the Messiah was born, that our Lord Jesus had come. David had been a shepherd in those hills outside Bethlehem many, many years before. And the one then that was now born, our Lord Jesus, was of that line. He was the son of David. And it may be then that those shepherds outside Bethlehem had often thought of themselves as following in the footsteps of David. Not in that sense of being kings, but in that sense of doing the work that David had engaged in as a child, looking after sheep in that particular district. And yet their privilege came to be not merely that they would shepherd as David had done, but that they would come and see the one that David had spoken of and the one that David typified, that is, the David's greater son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord took human flesh with this end in view, that he would be as David, that he would be a shepherd king. And how appropriate it was then that this shepherd king, the one greater than David, would be born in the city of David. Remember how our Lord Jesus himself said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And David, of course, in the physical sense, was a good shepherd of a flock. But here is the greatest shepherd of all, the shepherd of the greatest flock, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking last week about those words in Luke 2 and the verse 8. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Keeping watch over their flock by night. And the original Greek, in a very literal sense, it has the idea watching in the watches. Watching in the watches, because the night was divided up into these different watches, and while others slept, the shepherds were doing the work that was assigned to them. They were watching in the watches of the night, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now that Greek word watching, and so we have it repeated, watching in the watches, that Greek word for watching is used not only in the Greek New Testament for a shepherd watching over or keeping his sheep, it's used in a very different way for prison guards watching over their prisoners. And there, of course, it's used in the sense that they would guard them so that the prisoners might not escape. But it shows you that the word does have this idea of guarding, keeping their sheep. They were guarding their sheep. Now, in Psalm 121, one of the great themes is that of the Lord being the guard, the Lord being the keeper of his sheep. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. In the last couple of verses in the Authorized Version, it says the Lord shall preserve. And it's actually still the same Hebrew word. The Lord is the keeper. The Lord is keeping. Now, what is very interesting is that when the Old Testament Hebrew was translated into Greek, the word that those translators used to translate this keeping and preserving in Psalm 121 is the same word used in the Greek New Testament for the shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night. The Lord is the watcher. And the shepherds then, in a lesser way, were doing this watching over their flocks by night. And their activity then, that is the activity of the shepherds, in some way was pointing to the activity of a greater shepherd. They were doing a good job. But their activity, keeping watch over the flocks by night, was pointing to a greater shepherding work, the shepherding work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in Psalm 121, verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Now, some time back, I looked at Psalm 121 along with the other songs of degrees and saw this as the testimony of Jesus Christ, that the Father was watching over him. But today, with the Lord's help, I want to see it as it is also the testimony of the believer. As God's people, then, we say today, he that keepeth Israel, the one that watches over his church, shall neither slumber nor sleep. And we want to look then at the Lord's care of his flock. And I want to see, first of all, with you then, the Lord's unceasing care. The Lord's unceasing care. I mentioned that those shepherds in Bethlehem were watching over their flocks by night. They were not sleeping by night. They were watching over, watching in the watches. And so here in Psalm 121, verse 4, our great shepherd, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Now, the way of expression in the Hebrew language is often different than the way we might express in English. Of course, that's different from every language to another. Very often in English, we speak from the greater to the lesser. And so to get something of the idea of the verse 4, it might be something like this. The Lord does not sleep. He does not even slumber. The Lord does not sleep. He does not even slumber. Trapp put it like this. The Lord shall not fetch one wink of sleep. There's no moment when the Lord is not watching. And so there might have been a moment for those shepherds when they were struggling to stay awake. But not so the Lord. "He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." And the Lord is a watchful eye then over his flock, over his church in its entirety. And the Lord is a watchful eye over each individual sheep that makes up that flock and each individual need of the sheep within his flock. The Lord watches over his church as a body. And he watches over every member, over every bodily part, if we want to put it like that, in his church. In other words, there's no detail in your life that the Lord is unaware of. The Lord knows everything about you. And the Lord has this great care over his flock. And I want to think of some biblical examples then of our Lord's care. If you could turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and the verse 24. Matthew 14 and the verse 24, and the disciples here were in a ship on the Sea of Galilee. Matthew 14, verse 24. It says, "The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, and the fourth watch was the last watch coming toward morning, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, at the beginning of this, when the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, what was our Lord doing? Was he sleeping? Was he indifferent to the need of his disciples? Well, if you look back up at verse 22, it talks about the Lord constraining his disciples to get into the ship. And then in verse 23, he sends away the multitudes. He went into a mountain apart, or he went aside to pray. So he put his disciples into the ship, knowing what was before them. He sent the multitudes away, but he went to pray. What was happening then in the watches while the storm was against the disciples? The Lord was watching. The shepherd, we could say, was watching over his flock by night. He was aware of their fears. He was aware of their danger. And he was not in any way indifferent to them. And we read then of how he came to them. And so Matthew chapter 14 and the verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him, now initially they were afraid because they didn't realize that it was the Lord. But he says to them then, at the end of verse 27, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And it may be that there's some Christian in the meeting this morning, and you feel like your present situation is like being in the Sea of Galilee in a ship in a storm. And you feel the danger. You feel all alone. You feel there's none can help you. Well, praise God, there is that shepherd that keeps watch over his flock by night. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord comes to you. The Lord comes to you and he speaks those words of peace. It is I. Be not afraid. If you look with me then, please, in Acts chapter 12. And here, the Apostle Peter was in prison. And he was sleeping. He was in prison. The authorities had the plan that the next day Peter would be taken from the prison to be executed. But instead of spending the night in worry, as I think most of us would have done, Peter took the promises of God. The Lord said he would live to be an old man. And Peter slept. The Lord has all of this in control. The church, they were praying. They were praying unceasingly. We have to commend them for that. But their prayers of faith were mixed with unbelief. They were praying the Lord would deliver Peter, but they weren't quite sure how that could happen or if it could even happen. And so Peter was in the prison. Acts chapter 12, verse 6. It says, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And here is the same Greek word that I've mentioned earlier in the message. And so there he is. And it looks like he is being guarded. It looks like he is being watched over. Now, while that was true in a physical sense, there was another watcher. And this greater watcher could even cause those prison guards to cease from their guarding. The Lord could cause the other keepers to sleep, because he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And so the angel came to Peter while he was in prison. And we read there at the end of verse 7, his chains fell off from his hands and he was led out into the street. And the physical keepers, they were nowhere to be seen. The Lord preserved his child. And perhaps you are very aware that there are those that are against you. And there are circumstances that seem to be so against you. And things that, of themselves, if you didn't have the Lord, they could destroy you. But here, see that above those keepers, there is a greater keeper. And one who is able to restrain all powers that seem to be against you. The one that is able to bring great deliverance to his honor and glory. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. I think most of us are familiar with those great words towards the end of the book of Jude. Now unto him that is able to keep you. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And right through your earthly journey, dear Christian, the Lord is there as the keeper. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. The hymn writer said, I trust in God. Wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea, for come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. The valley may be dark, the shadows deep, but oh, the shepherd guards his lonely sheep, and through the gloom he'll lead me home. My heavenly Father watches over me. Our Lord's unceasing care. But I want to see with you, secondly, the Lord's care in the greatest extremities. The Lord's care in the greatest extremities. You think of those words, the shepherds watched over their flock by night. Now, of course, they watched over their flock by day, but they watched over their flock by night because that was the time of greatest danger for the sheep. Now, sheep are always vulnerable. Sheep always need to be cared for. But even in the hour of greatest danger, still there was a shepherd watching over the flock. And so while others in Bethlehem were looking for their rest and comfort, those shepherds put the need of the flock beyond their own desire. They watched over the flock at night. Surely that was the time when the wild beast would roam. When the wild beast would even have the anticipation, this is my greatest opportunity. But the shepherd was there to watch over the flock. Remember how David's own testimony was, that he had taken the lambs out of the mouths of the bear and the lion. He was there to protect the sheep. The shepherd was awake. And this is the Lord's care. Maybe there's someone in the meeting today and you're not yet converted. You've never yet been brought unto the Lord for salvation. And you don't have the assurance then that the Lord is watching over you for your good. And so the truths that I've mentioned that have greatly comforted the Lord's the hearts of God's people already today, they don't have that same comfort to you. Because if you rightly understood your state, the Lord is watching over you not to care, but rather the Lord watches over sinners to bring them to the full sentence, to the execution of judgment and justice. And so God's word warns that those that are outside the fold, They are in great danger. But praise God, there is hope. And I want to draw your attention to some words in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and the verse 21. It says there, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. And here we have this same word, keeps. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace. And the strong man here is Satan. Satan has a stronghold. And if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're under Satan's dominion. He is determined to keep you in his palace. He is determined to keep you chained in his stronghold. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. And there is then a strong watcher. And the strong watcher, Satan, is determined that you would be lost forever. And you say, well, I don't feel I'm under the dominion of Satan. Well, such is Satan's dominion. He's quite happy that you're not aware of it. The scripture speaks of how the devil has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. He's quite happy. Whatever explanation you will give for your present state, he doesn't mind what the explanation is, as long as you remain deluded. The strong man keeps his palace. His goods are in peace. You, in your lost state, sit quite unconcerned. If your eyes are open then and alerted to see the awfulness of your need, is there no hope? Well, praise God, if we read on, there is. So Luke chapter 11, verse 22. But when a stronger than he, so one that's stronger than this keeper, when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. There's one stronger than the strong man. There is a keeper greater than that keeper. And so, yes, Satan keeps his palace, but there is a greater keeper, and the one that's stronger than is our Lord Jesus Christ. He has this great determination to save. And so the devil's determination is to keep you blinded in his stronghold. But Christ has the determination to take souls out of that stronghold. And he comes then and he binds the strong man. And it's describing the gospel that an account of the death, well, the life and the death of our Lord, his glorious resurrection, he takes souls to himself. That is, Jesus Christ takes souls to himself. He delivers them out of the kingdom of Satan. How does Satan keep his goods? What is this armor that Satan trusts in? It's those words, the soul that sinneth shall die. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And Satan then is quite happy to quote the law of God. Your law says a soul that sins shall die. A soul that sins deserves everlasting destruction. And here is a sinner and he has sinned. He deserves destruction. And in that the devil is right. But praise God, our Lord Jesus Christ comes. And he says, but I have kept the law of God. I have not sinned. I have not fallen short. And I died in the place of sinners. I took punishment in the sinner's stead. And so for all those that are brought to Christ, the punishment has been carried away. Christ has borne it. they're taken out of the keeping of the strong man and brought into the great keeping of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today then, you're in an awful place, dear unconverted one, but praise God, there is hope. There is care even in the greatest of extremity, that the Lord comes and he delivers souls. I want us to go in our minds then to that night of our Lord's betrayal, that night of our Lord's arrest in the garden, and even our Lord's trial. And we think of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the night watches. What did he say to his disciples? Watch with me. Watch and pray. And as he agonized in his watching, as he agonized in his prayer, the disciples slept. Now remember, the Lord had warned his disciples. He had warned them of the tempter. So, for example, remember how he had spoken to Peter of how Satan had desired to sift him as wheat. But the Lord said, I have prayed for thee. And even in the garden still, he is still in prayer. Peter sleeps. The tempter has every desire to destroy Peter. Peter and the others ought to have been watching and praying, but he failed as we do. But he that keepeth Israel neither slumbered nor slept. Our Lord continued to agonize there in the garden. And if you turn with me then to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26 and the verse 31. Matthew chapter 26 and the verse 31. And it says there, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. And the word that's translated offended here in the Authorized Version, we actually get our word scandalized from it, but it often has the idea of being caused to stumble. All ye shall be caused to stumble. The devil's desire is that you would fall into sin. All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written. And he quotes from the book of Zechariah, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, the particular text that the Lord is quoting from here in Zechariah 13 talks about the sword. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. And in that verse, what it's actually saying is that there is a shepherd who is in equality with the Father. And it is, of course, the Son of God. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the Father then would take the sword against the shepherd. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And we think here of the shepherd. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. But we have these words then. The sword is going to come against the shepherd. The sheep are going to be scattered. Now why was that? Why would the Father take the sword against the Son? It was because of justice. Throughout our Lord's ministry, the sword was sleeping. The sword had nothing in Jesus Christ, for he had no sin. But as Christ was brought to the garden, and as he went through his trial and his crucifixion, he was made sin for us. The sin of his people was laid upon him. Christ bore it. And his sin was upon Christ, not in him, but laid upon him. The sword came against him. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Christ, he bore the wrath in our place. But we think of this, the shepherd is pierced. Is that the end of the sheep? And yes, it talks about the sheep being scattered, but praise God, in Zechariah, it talks about the Lord's hand being turned upon the little ones. And as the Lord expresses that here in Matthew 26, he says in verse 32, after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Yes, it's true, you will feel. And so the disciples did flee. But the Lord did not abandon his flock. And even in our Lord's crucifixion and burial, the flock was not abandoned. The Lord was still watching over them. But it was very manifest then after his resurrection, he came to the little ones. His hand was upon them. And it may be today you say, well, yes, it's true that the shepherd watches over the sheep. But this sheep doesn't behave himself or herself. So yes, the shepherd is faithful. But this sheep is unfaithful. And if that's your confession today, you're absolutely right. Yet that does not negate anything that I've said already about the Lord's unceasing care. He turns his hand upon the little ones. He goes after the strange sheep. And you think of Peter as he did deny our Lord. And you think of following that. Was Peter not in the place of greatest danger spiritually? Do you not think the devil would come as the accuser and say to Peter, if you did that, you could no way be a Christian at all? That was the devil's word. But it wasn't the Lord's word. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbered nor slept. And the Lord came to that sheep that had failed. And the Lord turned his hand to the little one. And he spoke words of comfort afresh. And today, wayward sheep, and that's us all, the Lord turns his hands to his little ones and he says, yes, you have failed. But you were never brought into the fold because you were a good sheep. You were brought into the fold because of the good shepherd. And you're kept in the fold because of the good shepherd. And the Lord will keep his sheep until he brings them the whole way home to glory. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. The Lord never gives up his care. Is such a one then not worthy of our trust today? And yes, we search our hearts and we say, I'm a sheep that's failed. But then let us lift our eyes and see that there's a shepherd who has never failed. He constantly guards his sheep. In closing, if there's one in the meeting and you're unconverted, you're under a dreadful keeper. And yes, it's his determination to bring you to a lost eternity. He's faithful in that. What an awful reaping through all eternity. But here is a loving shepherd who offers himself to you today. Come to the good shepherd. Come to the great watcher of souls. Come for your very soul's sake. We trust the Lord will take his word and write it upon all of our hearts. We'll bow together, please, in prayer. Perhaps there is one in the meeting, and you're not converted, I urge you today, even as you sit, that you would call upon the Lord to have mercy upon you. Yes, there may be many things about the gospel that you do not fully grasp. But if you grasp this, you're a sinner. And there is a loving shepherd. Then call upon that shepherd to save you. Call upon that shepherd to have mercy upon you. Him that cometh to me, our Lord said, I will in no wise cast out. Our gracious Father, seal thy word to every soul, we pray. We thank thee that we have one who never sleeps, not even slumbers. O Lord, we do pray that those that are without thee will come to the shepherd, and that every believer will have his joy restored today in our good shepherd. O Lord, we pray that it will be of great comfort to us throughout this day and going forward. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Continue with us in our Lord's name, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing some words of 439. 439. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. We'll just sing the verse 1 and the chorus, remaining standing for the giving of thanks and the benediction. 439.
I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died.
Our gracious Father, we give thee thanks for the refreshments. Bless that time of fellowship and bless the good things to us, and abide with us throughout the morning, we pray, and throughout this day. We pray, Lord, that our joy indeed will be in the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.